It's beginning to rain, rain, rain in the wash of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Hello, dear friends. Great to be with you again here from Bible Home Church. If you'd like to be a at-large member of Bible Home Church, well, we'd love to have you. Just write to us and let us know that you do profess a faith in Christ Jesus, that you are a born-again believing Christian, and you'd like to join our church. We don't have any membership fees. We don't bill you for your tithes and things like that, but we would love to have you affiliated with us here at Bible Home Church. We have a sermon here every week electronically, and we're glad you're a part of the congregation today. We're going to continue our really, I think, such a vital, important series on how you can be a witness for Christ, an effective witness for Christ. Don't think that it's just a matter of going knocking doors and telling your co-workers and such about Jesus. That is very, very important. But there's more. And I want to tell you all about the ramifications. It's a dangerous occupation. And you need to count the cost before you're going to comply with God's requirement. Yes, requirement that you be an effective witness. Did you know I was just looking at the Gospel of Mark today? Now, I almost got off track there, Sandra. What was I talking about? Thank you. The gospel. You can tell that we don't go by notes and like some pastors do. We were talking about that recently. How I've never been led to write my sermon out and type it and just read it. In fact, I think many pastors have other people write their sermons for them. Or they get them these canned sermons from books and things like that. You know, there's actually sermon services that will do the pastor's sermons for them. And you could pay these services, pulpit helps and such, and they'll send you sermons. And all you have to do is read them. Now, I don't know if those people are really called by God. I mean, I've never used anything except the Word of God and what, you know, information God has given me. And so, of course, I read constantly. I look at the newspapers, the magazines, hundreds. I'd say in a given year, I'm sure I read probably, I'd be surprised if I didn't read 500 books a year. And that's just constant. And that means more than one book a day that I read. And that doesn't count. Goodness, if you just saw the articles in my office, you'd flip. And this is just a few months worth, probably, gathering steam on my desk and all here. But in any case, I don't know but what a man really is not called unless he's inspired to use the Bible directly. You see, every time I study for my sermons, go to the Bible, I am blessed. It's not a matter, friends, of just saying, oh, no, I have to preach this week, so I've got to get out my Bible and study. It's a job. No, it's not a job to me. It's a blessing, because when I read the Bible, I get blessed. And I want to tell you something. I learn something every time I read the Bible. It's just astonishing. Sometimes I just get the Bible. I've got maybe 3 minutes. I'm waiting for Wanda. You know, she's getting dressed. We've got to go somewhere. And she says, I'll be right with you, sweetheart. I say, okay. Well, I don't have anything else to do, so I'll just pick up the Bible and read. 2 or 3 minutes. And I've been able to glean incredible things. And that does cause problems in our lives because she'll come in and say, I'm ready. I said, just 1 minute. I'm reading something here. It's really good. I've never quite seen it this way before. And I make her sit down just a couple minutes. I don't do that very often, but I have done that on occasion. It's because God packs so much. I really believe he overlays. I call it the overlay process. He overlays principle, concept, theme upon theme upon concept and principle. And you actually learn that away. So if you read one verse of scripture and next year you read it again, don't think that you're not going to see something new there. Now, I mean, it will just suddenly open itself up to you. You know, the Bible says no man need teach you, but the Holy Spirit will instruct you in all things. Now listen, I know the Bible talks about the foolishness of preaching and how powerful it is. Yes, preachers are needed. They're called to bring the gospel. But listen to me. Listen to me. Even though I preach, even though I do my best to preach, as weak and feeble an attempt as it is sometime, do you know that I don't do 1% as much work as the Holy Ghost does when people listen to this program? Because I give you the Word of God, and I give you what God has given me on it. But meanwhile, while you're listening to the Word of God, did you know that the Holy Ghost inside of you is also teaching you? A lot of people don't realize that. They think it's just the preacher. That's not what does it. The preacher reads the Word. He maybe gives some insights or something. Hopefully they're from God, depending on the preacher. But it's the Holy Ghost that quickens a person, that makes him understand. Sometimes I can read a passage of Scripture and preach, and somebody writes me and says, boy, you really inspired me, Brother Tex. Now I understand that ABC means DXY. And you know what? I didn't even preach that. Exactly. And I go, wow, it does, huh? I go back to my Bible. I find out they're preaching to me. They think that I taught them that. I didn't even teach them that. This is the miracle of the Holy Ghost disseminating the message of Jesus. But Jesus in the Gospel of Mark, that's what I was going to get around to, in the Gospel of Mark actually told people, go ye into all the world. Go into all the world preaching the good news, the gospel. That's what the word gospel means, good news. Jesus said go into all the world. Now, I just want to tell you about a little bit of a problem. If you've got the NIV, which today is the best-selling Bible, the King James is the only one that's pure, unvarnished Word of God. But if you got these new versions like the NIV, please don't try to find that in the Bible. It's called the Great Commission. And you know what's interesting to me? I was talking to the second man. I guess he could be the top man now. Some years ago, Bill Bright's top lieutenant. Bill Bright, who's now passed away, founded Campus Crusade for Christ. And it's an interesting thing that Bill Bright began to use all the false Bible versions and such, which is very sad. And his assistant was talking to me. I say his assistant, actually was his top lieutenant. On the phone one day, he called me and asked me if I'd be interested in speaking at some of their Campus Crusade for Christ things. That was when I was in the good graces of these organizations, and they didn't realize what a hard preacher I was. When they realized what a hard preacher I was, they quit inviting me to these things some years ago. But it's interesting that he called me up. I think his name was Steve Douglas. And as we talked about various things, he kept talking about how Campus Crusade, and I think it was also called Here's Life Ministries. I think they had a ministry called that. But he said, we really believe in the Great Commission. That's interesting. Except he also taught from the NIV Bible, which eliminates the Great Commission, because the chapters 9 through 20 are missing. Chapter 16, verses 9 through 20 in the Gospel of Mark. Just get out your Bible if you don't believe me. If you've got an NIV and the King James, look, compare together. you'll find that verses 9 through 20 are mysteriously missing from the Gospel of Mark. You look down the footnotes and they say, most or the best translations don't have this today. Really? But most pastors don't believe that God's Word is pure anymore, and they just trust what the so-called scholars and theologians tell them, and they say, oh yes, that's right. Those should have never been in the Bible. Verses 9 through 20, oh no, they shouldn't have been in the Bible. They're a mistake. Looks like God made a lot of mistakes when He wrote the Bible, huh? That's what they believe. That's what Bill Brighton and Steve Douglas evidently believed. But there it is, the Great Commission, go ye into all the world. And Jesus even talks about the signs that will follow His disciples. The signs. Yes, there are certain signs that follow. And that's an interesting concept too. But the Great Commission is missing. I was in Canada several years ago and I preached at a church called Calvary Church. They said it was a historic church in Winnipeg. They said this church has been here for decades, since the 19th century. Oh, it's a historic old church, Calvary Church. I found out that many of the people, if not most of the people in that church, don't use the King James anymore. And I asked the pastor why he called his church Calvary. He says, well, that's where, you know, Jesus went to the cross. They call that mountain there, that hill, Calvary. I said, where do you get that from? I was just having some fun. He said, well, I suppose it's in the Bible. And I says, well, what Bible is that? He said, well, the Bible. I said, well, you think you could find it for me in the NIV or the New American Standard? Well, I suppose so. Well, I didn't want to belabor him anymore. We only had a couple of minutes. But I enlightened the pastor a little bit. I said, I know you couldn't find it for me, and I don't want to deceive you and trick you. There's no reason for you to waste your time looking for it. It's taken out. It's missing. And he looked at me like I was crazy. He said, really? I said, sure. It's taken out. The very word Calvary is taken out. Even the word Lucifer is taken out. And Isaiah. In most of the New Bible versions. You don't even know that Lucifer is the same one as Satan. In fact, I read a book recently. They said, thank God for the new versions. The New Bible versions. The King James had made a mistake. Lucifer is not the devil. He's a good angel. He's a good angel. Now, this was in a Masonic book written by John Robinson called Born in Blood. He's not talking about Jesus Christ. He said the Masonic order was born in blood. And as far as the Masons go, he says, many people say that the Masons worship Lucifer. Mr. Robinson defended Lucifer. He said, for too long, Christians have been taught that Lucifer is Satan or the devil. Now we have new versions of the Bible. No longer is Lucifer identified as the devil in the newer versions. Yes, Lucifer has been rehabilitated. He's not the devil anymore in the new versions. Well, today we've been talking about the New Bible versions, but I'm just trying to point out, my friends, if you're going to be an effective witness for Christ, one of the things you better have is God's Word. You cannot be an effective witness for Christ unless you use the King James Bible. That's just the way it is. If you feel led by the Holy Ghost, that's right, by the Holy Ghost, because I believe the Holy Spirit does lead people to do things, to contribute, to give to this ministry, your tithes, your offerings, we'd love to hear from you. If you just have a prayer request, you don't have to send us a dime. Say, Tex, I'd like you to pray for me or for a loved one. I'd like to have that privilege of praying for you. It's not a burden, it's a privilege. Please let us pray for you. We want to. And God hears our prayers. Please write to us. Please write to us if you can. If you'd like to let us know you're praying for us, well, that'll be pretty powerful. Real powerful, in fact. Not just to ask for our prayers, but let us know you're praying for us. That would be something I'd love to hear from you about. Now, this next song, A Closer Walk with Thee, is an old, old standard. It's a great song. And the singer, by the way, his group, it's called the Desert Airs. Gospel group. It's the late Boyd Cole is the singer here, and I sort of like this music because Boyd Cole was and still is, because he's in heaven. He's a believer in Jesus Christ, but he went on to be with the Lord. He died of brain cancer, and went on to be with the Lord. But I tell you, he's enjoying himself now. And I'm just wondering, just a closer walk with thee, how close he's walking with Jesus today. You know, the Bible says that death of the saints is a sweet thing to God. That may sound gruesome to the world. How can death, the death of a saint, be a sweet thing to God? Because God has put us down here to do tasks, to do a mission, for him to be witnesses. But you know, then we receive our rest. Our rest. It's called that in the Bible. We go and receive our rest in heaven. Oh my, what Boyd Cole, what wonderful things he's doing now. He's a fortunate man. He lived the best life that he could. He knew Jesus Christ as Lord. And he knew he was dying. And he took care of all of his personal affairs. And I know he's walking with Jesus today. And here he is singing, just a closer walk with thee.
Just a closer walk with thee. Christ.
You know, it's like these little bitty global locator things, you know, the hunters and everything take out there, or the military pilot uses for smart bombs. That's right. God is going to hone it in. And so someday, you know, you could be in Austin, Texas, and this person could be in Berlin, Germany. But someday, at some very moment in time, whammo, y'all are going to be face to face. Okay? And you're going to say something, and you're witnessing, that will change that person's life, and you may not even have realized it, or you may do something. You may demonstrate your faith in some way, and they go, wow, I need that. That's what I needed. I've talked to so many pastors, and they say that after they give a sermon that really is inspired by the Lord Jesus, many times six or even a dozen people will come to after service and say, Pastor, I know you were talking about me. Your sermon was, boy, geared right to me. You must have known my situation, or God gave you the knowledge of my situation, or God inspired you to meet my needs. Now, you might say, some people would say, oh, well, they're just egomaniacs. They think everything is related to them. I don't necessarily think that's true. I think that's the way God works. I really do. You know, I've told you of miracles in Wanda and our life. The miracle of us going on one of the largest radio stations in America and going in there because I wanted to be on that talk show. I wanted to promote one of my books. It was going to be a best-selling book. See how I sort of predicted that. But we went in and, you know, that girl wasn't at all interested in me. But my wife, it was a secular station, WGN, in Chicago. She was interested in talking to my wife. She said, "You're the one that God sent me. I have a problem. I got a terrible problem." And Wanda said, "Okay." And then after she didn't want to talk, I said, "Hey, wait, but is there any talk show you have I can get on here?" But see, God didn't send us in there for me to be on some talk show, but we were there. And I believe the amazing thing was this girl, we walked into Chicago. My book had just come out. It was my second Christian book, but the first best-selling book. But it had really was just getting around in bookstores. No one knew who I was. But as it turned out, in that radio station in Chicago, Illinois, we parked, we went in. We wouldn't even been in there, but we were driving downtown. Wacker Avenue, I think, was the name of the... It was right downtown, right by the lake there. And we saw this huge building, WGN. I said, "Hey, that's a radio station. Man, that's huge. I bet you they have talk shows. Let's just..." And there happened to be a parking place, almost never, you know, downtown Chicago. But we pulled into that parking spot right there in front of that station. It was just God kept it open for us. You say, "Oh, Tex, that's all coincidence, is it?" And we parked there, and then we went in. And you won't believe this, but there was this very attractive young black girl, and she was sitting there at the desk as a receptionist, and she was reading my book. Oh, yes. And right away, I had my picture on the back, just a little bitty one, you know, 2x2. And she looked at me, and she looked at that. And it was one of these stations that's huge, you know, marble and everything. It was really a fancy, gigantic station. And she said, "This is you." I said, "Yes, it is." My ego about got the best of me right then. I thought, my book is going to be a bestseller. I can tell. I mean, it's just out, and already here's a gal at WGN, you know, not even a Christian station. You know, she's reading my book. And then she turned to Wanda and said, "Well, you must have been sent here by God to help me. You know, you're Texas wife. You must have been sent here by God." And I think Wanda gave her the answer that she sought. And if you want to know what that answer is, you'll have to talk to Wanda after what the question was. Because she testified. That young lady gave testimony that the Spirit told her that's exactly what God wanted me to hear. Thank you. She was thrilled to hear that. Okay? Now, this is the way you say, "Well, that sounds spectacular." I think God does spectacular things in our lives. And you may go for a long time when God doesn't do anything, and then suddenly He does something just miraculous in your life. And He can do those things, and He will. Now, thus we give our testimony. You know, the Bible tells us it's a public thing because we call it the Great Commission. "And He said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel," which, by the way, means good news, "to every creature." Somebody says, "Does that mean the doggies and the cats?" Well, if you feel led by the Spirit, preach away. Who knows? If you want to include them in the redemption, God is able to do anything, but I limit it to people. But, you know, that's every creature. I think it means people. "Go ye into all the world." Don't stay at home. Don't be a monk, but go into all the world. How do we know what to teach? A lot of people say, "How do we know what to teach?" We go into the world, what do we say? Well, first of all, the Holy Spirit will lead you. There's no real formula, but wait. What did Jesus do for you? There's your testimony. What can He do for them? That's what you testify to. Who is Jesus? What did He do for the whole world? That's testimony. And there's a testament to that. Jesus actually is calling the Bible the testator. That's right, because He gave the Bible. It's the testimony of the Word of God. Who is the Word? Jesus Christ. The Old Testament says, "Thy Word, O Lord, is truth." Well, give them the truth. And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." That's pretty much right there, the gospel, isn't it? Tell them that. That's not too complicated, is it? Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. That's proclaimed in Matthew 14, verse 33. There's what you can tell people. Of a truth, Jesus is the Son of God. Of a truth, He is. Isaiah said, hear the word of the Lord when he began to preach. Hear the word of the Lord. Maybe that's a good thing. Would you like to hear the word of God? Would you like to hear the word as Jesus told it? 2 Titus chapter 4, verse 2 simply says, preach the word. Preach the word. Who is the word? Jesus. What is the word? His Bible. You know? But be ye doers of the word. James 1 reads, be ye doers of the word. Okay? Maybe that has to do with demonstrating it to people as well as telling them about it. Be ye doers of the word.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.